You know, if you haven't checked out What Chaos yet, you oughta, because we've had all your favorite players on the show. I'm talking Seth Jones, Linus Solmark, Connor Bedard, whoever it may be.
We're live every day on YouTube at noon Eastern, but also available on all podcast platforms, including the one you're listening to right now.
We got guests, and yeah, we're also doing a bit of chit-chat, goofing around, laughing at what makes us laugh in hockey.
So regardless of how deep you are into your hockey fandom, come listen to What Chaos. We'll talk about your favorite team, we'll talk about your least favorite team, and everybody in between, and we're having a ton of fun doing it every single day, Monday through Thursday. It's What Chaos, presented by All City Network.
Strava Craft Coffee is a rich CBD-infused coffee, which you can now purchase in K-Cups for your Keurig, or if you like their original whole bean or ground options, you can get those as well. And you can get 20% off when you use code DNVR20 at checkout. It's awesome. Great product. We've been partners with them for a good bit now. We get some in the office every so often, and it goes extremely quickly. Like, usually Lindsay will throw out the call to get some, and by the time I get there, they're all already gone.
Yeah.
But either way, highly recommend you check it out soon here. As things are starting to open up, you will also be able to try it in and around Denver in multiple locations, including Carbon Cafe, Drip Denver, Slow High Coffee, Blue Sparrow, and Max Market. So give it a try while you can and get that 20% off with code DNVR20.
And Cole gets another good righty and another right by Cole, a left by Cole this time. Tipped in front by Mika Rantanen. Shoots and scores! Nathan MacKinnon! Call J.T. Comfer! 877 goes now! Gabriel Landeskog! Collective hugs! 29 and 92! Save me by Grubauer! Move over, Picasso! This piece of art is by MacKinnon. My goodness gracious!
Welcome in to the DNVR Avalanche podcast presented by Davidson's Beer, Wine, and Spirits, the go-to place to pick up your beer, wine, and alcohol, particularly Breckenridge Brewery, as AJ gives me a there.
I just finished my vanilla porter.
Oh, there
just,
you go.
Just before we went live.
There you go. Even AJ's drinking beer. That's how you know it's good.
That's right. That's a good point.
Anyway, welcome into the show. It's been a bit of a slower day after the news of the NHL returning, but there's still tidbits here and there and plenty to talk about when it comes to the Avs as well. So where we wanted to start is, this was announced a day or two ago, but we never really got to it. Instead of a 30-man roster, which was the presumption, it's actually a 28-skater roster with as many goaltenders as you want to bring per team. So it gives the Avs a little bit more leeway to bring a couple of extra skaters as things come down to it. Now, I would say there are 15 forwards that are pretty well established that have been on the roster mostly the entire year when you add in Namestnikov as to make it 15. And then seven defensemen as Barbario is the seventh D-man kind of all year. So, excuse me, that accounts for 22 skaters, but then you have six skater spots left to fill. We did do a roundtable on this the other day. If you want to go check that out, highly recommend it. We won't dive too much into it, as you can check the article for that. But real quick, AJ, I think the biggest conversation that everyone is talking about here is, do the Avs now bring Bowen Byram as one of those 28 skaters?
Yeah, I think that's one of the main questions. It's funny because, like, the guys that we'll talk the most about are guys that won't play. Like,
yeah, right.
If Bowen Byram comes, he's their 10th defenseman.
Gonna just be there for practice, essentially.
Yeah, like it will take multiple injuries, and you remember that this is going to be the postseason, so it's going to take multiple serious injuries.
Yep.
To get down there. Byram is allowed to practice with the team. Because he already had a contract, he could do it. If he's allowed to play in the games, and his contract can still slide. He's got the 9-game rule,
yep,
in effect. So there's really not a good reason for him not to join the team unless they're just deathly afraid of him getting into a game.
Losing three defensemen somehow, yeah.
Yeah, if they, well, and even then, so we had, I had mine, the normal top six, yep, and then I have Barbario, Connaughton, and Timmins as the three that is. Barbario and Connaughton would obviously get first cracks, and then Timmins after that, and then Byram. Like, they would have to get deep into injury territory for that to happen.
Yeah, I do wonder a little bit if they're a little afraid to play Timmins as well, but,
and even then, like, you need two defenseman injuries, and this isn't over the course of 6 months. This is
a 2-month sprint, basically.
Yeah, right. Where if you have two defenseman injuries, and again, like, it's the postseason. I would also say that, you know, even you're just, is it going to benefit Anton Lindholm or Mark Alt to be that guy?
No, is the short answer to that.
And like, is it going to benefit Connor Timmins to get that practice time?
Obviously, yes.
Like, you feel like there's a completely different world here of a cost benefit. And it just makes more sense, man, to have Timmins and Byram get the practice time and get out there on, yeah, the ice and 100%. start to get comfortable with those guys. And you get, it could, and I wrote this in one of the roundtables, you get to kind of treat it like a free mini training camp, yeah, like a little mini, because they're going to have a training camp, but then you get to treat this like a free preseason for those guys. These games obviously matter, but they're not expected to play. So, you know, I just think that if you get down into, oh, where you need to play Jacob McDonald, or you need to play Anton Lindholm or Mark Hall, if you bring one of these other guys, you know, it's just like, why? Like, you want one of these guys to push for a roster spot anyway. Why not just roll with them in the game as well? The upside is that it goes really well, and that guy maybe pushes for a roster spot immediately. With Byram, we expect it will. You know, the downside is that he's a rookie and he's not very good. Well, the downside of Anton Lindholm or Mark Alt is that they're not going to be very good either.
Exactly.
So, like, what does it hurt you to do it if it's not going to cost you in contract? It's not going to cost you in any kind of meaningful on-ice result. It just doesn't make sense to me to not give it a whirl.
I'm 100% with you. At absolute minimum, you're making an upside bet on a guy that could give you something. And if you're playing them, you're desperate for something anyway. So when you're sheltering that guy, when you're two defensemen ahead of him, you know, if you're playing Kevin Connaughton, you're playing him as few minutes as you can anyway in the playoffs.
Right. Like, that guy's getting 7 to 10 minutes on the ice.
Yeah. He's not playing big minutes, and it's not something that you're really looking to replace and thinking, oh no, Bowen Byram's not going to be able to replace that.
Yeah.
So it doesn't make a ton of sense to me to have a bunch of vets that won't even be on the team next year sitting around waiting to fill those spots.
Yeah. And that's why for mine, I went young on both forward and defense. I brought Byram, Timmins, Powers, and Gout. No expectation that any of those guys get in. Wilson, Kamenev, Nieto, and Tynan would all be ahead of Bowers and Kout. And only because, in Kout's case, only because of the contract. In Bowers' case, because they, you know, various levels of comfortable with those guys ahead of Bowers for right now. But those guys getting into a practice and getting, you know, working daily with Bednar, and he gets to see them and all that, I think that's only a good thing.
I agree. especially, you know, someone like Bowers has already caught Bednar's eye. He did at the start of the season. The more he can show himself, you know, the more opportunity maybe he gets next season. But it comes down to a couple of things. First of all, I thought it was interesting you didn't include O'Connor.
I went back and forth between O'Connor and Tynan, and I thought, look, they've defaulted to Tynan like three different times this year. And so that's the only reason that I went, but I wanted to bring him, but I wasn't going to bring him over Bowers.
Yeah.
Or certainly over Cout. That was just not going to happen.
I wouldn't have brought him over Cout either, but I do wonder if you're talking about effective players during the season, number one for forward calls was Martin Cout, and number two was Logan O'Connor, more effective than Tynan.
Yeah, sure. But it was on such a small degree from O'Connor to O'Tynan to Megna to all the other guys that they called up that I didn't think about a guy like Dries either.
I didn't really consider Dries either. That the Dries situation feels like the opportunity was had and came up short at this point, to be honest with you.
He's gonna be a really good AH. He's gonna have a nice AHL career if he wants one.
Yeah, exactly. So should be an interesting conversation when it comes down to the Avs actually making their selections. There is a very, very real possibility that they do bring someone like a Lindholm, you know, given they were willing to play him four games during the season and things like that.
Yeah, I made the leap of faith, but if you put a gun to my head and my life depended on it, I'm not taking Timmins and Byram.
Thankfully, the gun isn't to your head. So.
Yeah.
Definitely. Either way, we'll have to wait and see until – I wonder, when did those limitations come in place? I don't think we know, right? They can kind of have whoever for the training camps at this point.
Yeah, we don't really know what the guidelines are on this.
Yeah.
They haven't even made the guideline for a guy like Byram clear. Like, there may be a stipulation where they're like, hey, he has to have already been in pro hockey. None of this turning pro halfway through, right?
Like, I mean,
they may not even technically.
I would assume they'll allow it, given that he signed his contract at the start of the year.
Yeah.
But you could make that. It's a reason why I just am not expecting Annan to come. I mean, he probably wouldn't have come anyway. But
I'm not even considering it.
But it could have been an option, so.
With him under contract, technically, yeah, I guess you could have that. You could have that conversation.
Sure. I mean, North American ice practice, I do think matters a little bit, but
for the goalies, the reason I'm not considering is because I think they'll take four goalies, and they want to make sure that if they, for whatever reason, have to play one of those guys, they'll be able to play. But they. Well, they can take as many as they want, so why not bring Annan as a fifth or a sixth?
That's what I'm saying, yeah.
The thing is, you just don't have the practice time at that point. Like, he won't get the practice time, you know, whereas skaters, that's just one more line that you throw on the ice. With goaltenders, you want to make sure that your top two guys especially are sharp, and that if need be, your third and fourth guys have been getting meaningful work in. This isn't the time to get cute with going beyond that, in my opinion.
Okay. I mean, I would tend to agree during the actual series, but during the training camp, it seems like you could kind of bring whoever you want.
Yeah, I mean, you don't need to have this be a training camp where you've got 50 guys and you're running two sessions just because you can. I don't think that's a good use of anybody's time.
I agree with that. I'm just talking about like an extra goalie or so.
Yeah, well, I mean, with goalies, reps are so meaningful. Reps especially are so difficult. It's all before practice work. And at some point, you're at the diminishing return spot when you bring enough guys. And the fifth guy is shown to be that fifth goalie is always the odd man out. Or when they have six goalies, that third group is always just like.
Yeah.
Those guys just don't. They're splitting reps and they're getting like, okay, great. You get to try this drill twice instead of your starters trying it four times. And it's just, for me, I don't think it's worth it. Annan's got a nice long career ahead of him. You'll have a lot of time to do whatever you need to on the development side. This is about winning you a Stanley Cup. And the goalies just don't have the same reps the skaters do.
Yeah, I'm not going to argue too much with you on that one. I assumed Anandin was a long shot to begin with. So he can spend his offseason time playing a little bit of golf straight from his couch with WGT Golf as the most popular golf game in the world and also the official gaming partner of DNVR. You can download the game today when you go to dnvrgolf.com and sign up for the DNVR Clubhouse as well to get in and play tournaments with all of us. We have one coming up this Sunday even. So get on the links, shoot some good scores, and maybe even win yourself a DNVR prize. It's loved by more than 20 million people around the world, and the DNVR Clubhouse has over 250 players themselves. So jump in there, play some world-famous courses, including Pebble Beach, St. Andrews, Bethpage Black, and many others in many different formats, whether it be closest to the hole, stroke play, match play, you name it. You can jump on there and make everyone at DNVR look bad at golf, except for Patrick Lyons, who is surprisingly amazing at this game, but the rest of us are just trying to hang on most of the time when it comes to the scoreboard. AJ getting not last is something to celebrate for the most part.
It was for me on that day.
Either way,
we've got the Nux Invitational coming this weekend.
Yep.
Sponsored by our mascot Knucklehead, who is living up to his name. He's a bit of a jerk at times, we'll call him prickly.
Prickly is a good way to put it, yeah.
And in that vein, this is going to be the hardest tournament that we roll out. So
you never make it easy, Nux. Yeah,
I said it on TDSP. Whoever wins, there will be no winner this week. There will be a survivor.
There you have it. WGT Golf. Go to dnvrgolf.com again to download. Second period of the DNVR Avalanche podcast presented by Davidson's Beer, Wine, and Spirits with Rudo and AJ. I did drop Alex Newhook's highlights on YouTube today, so we figured it was time to bring it back and bring a little bit more Alex Newhook hype to the show here. Look, the kid had well over a point per game in his season, so there's a lot to be excited about, to say the least. But as we roll the highlights here for the live show, the kid can just absolutely crush in the offensive zone. His positioning, his will to hunt down the puck is just so effective.
I really like that goal right there that we just watched.
Yep.
The deflection goal. I'm a big fan of that one because you watch the way that he reads the play and moves around the zone. He just kept finding soft spots in the defense.
He gets his stick where it needs to be.
Right. And the defender comes to take his stick away here and just doesn't get it in time.
Yep.
Because you see he gets it lifted right at the very end there.
He created just enough space to make the play, basically.
Yeah. And that's why this goal really stands out to me, is that it's, we know about the skating. We know about the shot. We know that, you know, he can score on breakaways because he did it quite a bit this year. But watching him move around and read the play, and this is another deflection goal.
Right on the back door there, yep.
And finding soft spots in that defense, it's something that he didn't have to do a lot of in the BCHL because there was just a lot of time and space everywhere he went. But watching him adjust to a tighter checking league in the NCAA, it was a very encouraging a process from him. When you go through these highlights and you see where he was finding success, it's not just like this was, oh, fast guy skate faster than everyone else and roll down and beat college goalies. He scores in a lot of different ways.
The versatile scoring that step up too. There's always the question with the junior A kids of, can they play the same way at the next level? And absolutely, if this highlight reel goes far enough into it, you'll see Newhook straight up walk college level defensemen.
Well, so, and we're seeing the playmaking a lot early in this too, where he hadn't started scoring every game.
Yeah.
And this is where he was racking up assists early on in the year, before I started tweeting about him scoring goals every night. Like, this is the other side of his offense, because he does draw in that attention and he looks for teammates. He looks to make a play. And a lot of times it's a simple play. It's not oh my gosh, like, see, this is just a quick touch pass.
Yep. Nothing fancy, but it creates space for teammates.
Yeah. And it's hard to defend because he makes such quick decisions when he gets the puck. And when that happens, and this is against a very good Notre Dame team, a very good defensive club too. And you see just the way that he works is, see, like, that's garbage defense. Yeah. There's a guy alone in front of the net. And you're just
can't
like,
be hey. Doing that.
And then here he outworks three guys and scores on a breakaway. Like, this is a kid that does it in a lot of different ways. And that's where the excitement is. Look, explosive skaters and high point totals, like, that's all sex appeal, right? But when you start talking about what translates, what's the goods on a kid, the vision and the ability to create offense, to generate offense, to score in a lot of different situations and not be a one trick pony. That is what has me most excited about him, is that he just finds so many different ways to be impactful. And that's my number one reason why it's like, oh my gosh, he has taken a big step up in caliber of prospect in 1 year because of that.
100%. And you know, one of his biggest drawbacks was the question mark of effort level on defense, right? And there's still some of that there to a certain extent.
Oh, it's totally a work in progress.
But at the same time, you see the effort that comes out of him when he puts in the work to hound down pucks and find plays and create plays in the offensive zone, like right there, three chances in a row.
He outworks a guy.
Yeah, and you see that work ethic and you go, okay, we get this kid to apply that on the defensive end as well, and all of a sudden, you know, you're talking about a real top six, super effective player. You don't need elite level play out of him on the defensive end. You just need that effort a bit more consistently, and you can play this guy 20 minutes a night if you have to. So the path to success for him on the offensive side is obvious, but I think it's there on the defensive end as well. And especially for a player that you're looking at most likely playing center for you in the NHL, there needs to be a certain caliber of defensive ability there.
Yeah.
And I think he can get there. I'm not saying he's there yet because he's not, but
Yeah, it's one of those things next season you want to talk when you're saying, okay, one more college year and then he jumps to the NHL. Like, he needs that progression. That'll be a big part of it, about the conversation of him signing his contract. He's not going to be able to just roll into the NHL and be, okay, well, here, I'm offense only. Like, Leon Draisaitl will get away with it because he scored 110 points. And look, if Alex Newhook's going to score 110 points, he can be.
You don't have to play no defense anymore. Yeah.
He's allowed to do that. I will let that go. I will let that slide.
Exactly.
in college, like, he's already taken such a big step forward from where he was in the BCHL. He put the work in,
yep,
and was so much better defensively in college than he was in the BCHL.
Exactly right. So, for a kid who was already drafted 16th overall, the steps he's taken in his D+1 year are maybe the biggest of any Avs prospect I would throw out there. Maybe Anonen rivals him or eclipses him, even given the year that he had.
Yeah, you know, Jost's D+1 was great too.
It was. It absolutely was.
He did so many good things too, and it was the same situation. Going to a powerhouse college program and coming out of the BCHL as a dominant force in that league, and what was it going to look like? You know.
Yep.
It for both of those guys looked pretty good.
It did. It was great. I mean, granted, everyone has seen how the progression of Jost has happened in the NHL, and certainly something the Avs are looking to avoid with Newhook, but he's going back for that second year and can round out his game a bit more. Obviously, in recent history, something the Avs have had more success with is those second year players. So it is what it is, as AJ just marvels at another new hook goal here.
I'm just thinking, boy, that you don't get Northeastern with a defensive split that bad very often. That's a pretty well, that's a really well coached team that doesn't play like that. And of course this is about to be 8-1
them this game, but
college hockey happens.
And indeed it does. So either way, as much hype as we can bring on New Hook, I want to bring it to you because the kid was doing special things this year. I think out of the draft class, people have New Hook ranked as high as like 7th or something now.
Yeah.
So
I will say my one concern, and this isn't even a New Hook concern as it is just the world we're living in right now concern. Mm-hmm. If for some reason college athletics don't happen this fall, he has nowhere to go,
right?
You know, we talked to Brendan Brisson earlier this week on one of the shows, and we said, hey, do you have a backup plan in case? And he just said, I'll just go back to the USHL,
right? Go to your old team. And
you know,
BCHL is not a real option for that,
right? And Alexis Lafreniere has there's an article today about him possibly going to Europe while everybody waits out what happens over here in North America with the sports and the schedule and all that. New Hook is stuck.
Yep. He has kind of nowhere to go. And I do wonder, I mean, it's going to be tough there. As the Avs, you have to consider bringing him to the AHL as a potential option at that point, right?
Well, is there going to be an AHL season?
And that's a perfectly valid question as well.
Because if it starts, say college season starts in January, AHL season starts in January, you just leave him in college, but he only gets half of a year at that point.
Right.
You know, do WJCs happen this year? Like, a lot of the reasons that you would leave someone down where they are at a level they just ate up like he did. You know, you want him to get a little physically stronger. You want him to be in a daily weight program. You want him to continue to work on aspects of his game that need refining. If he's not on the ice and he's not on campus because they're not allowing it, you know, does he consider going to Europe?
That's exactly where I was going to bring it to. If Europe is playing leagues, how many players are we going to see flock to those leagues just to get games in?
And, you know, how willing will European teams be to give out contracts with out clauses for all these guys that want to go somewhere else?
Right. Yeah.
You know, because if he goes to Europe, it's over. There's no college. There's no going back to BC.
Yep. That's a pro league. His NCAA availability is now canceled.
Right. And so it becomes a question of, okay, well, now he's in, you know, now he's playing in the SHL. How long does that last? Does he get away with it? Do you just ride it out and maybe he ends up going 3 years at BC because this ends up being a kind of a lost type season thing.
Yeah.
And you don't want to sign him and you know, you wanted to see that second year out of him. I don't think it's such a slam dunk that he signs at the end of the season that what happens won't matter.
So, here's the thing. All right. At the end of a season, even if it's a shortened season, if he's willing to sign to play in the AHL, I think it happens no matter what.
I think that's fair.
Yeah. But we've seen majority of first-round college prospects make the jump directly to the NHL.
Yeah, and like a later first-round guy like Bowers going and spending a year in the AHL, it's not uncommon.
Sure. But New Hook's a mid-first.
Right. And a super hyped guy now. Yeah, like exactly. Seeing him be like, oh, well, we're going to go through the AHL route.
Well, whatever happens.
Kind of middle of the road on it. Yeah. Whatever. Right. But I think because of the situation the world is in right now, it makes for interesting. You can't just assume next college season will be normal and everything will just go off without a hitch. End of the year, he signs, and it's like, okay, hey, this was completely regular.
Definitely a little bit weird, but either way, I will be drinking my Breckenridge Brewery as we watch things develop with New Hook and for everyone else. So support them, pick up your 15 cans of Mile High City Copper Lager or any other Breckenridge brew that you prefer from their farmhouse down in Littleton. You can pick up and save $5 when you do when you use code DNVR. Just give a call to 303-803-1380. Or you can always use the Breck Beer Locator to find some near you. They're in grocery stores. They're in liquor stores. You can get them delivered through apps like Drizzly. You name it, you can find your Breck brew. All right. Third period of the DNVR Avalanche podcast presented by Davidson's with Rudo and AJ. We're going to do something a little bit different today with our third period of the show. It's something we want to do more regularly on Fridays and honestly probably turn this into kind of a whole show of having a little bit of fun, screwing around, watching some videos, doing a little bit of sports trivia and things like that as well. So for today's show, we are bringing in Flyby Cygnus, also known as Michael. How you doing? Welcome to the show. Good to have you on.
It's good to be here, guys. Thanks for having me.
Oh, yeah. Anytime. Today, we have five Avalanche trivia questions for you that range from easy to quite difficult. We'll see how they go. I have not let AJ know the questions either. So if you're struggling, we're going to let AJ help you out as a bit of a lifeline as well.
I am the friend that you phone.
Yeah, exactly. But if you're ready, we're good to play.
Pitter patter. Let's get at her.
All right. All right. How are you now? Question number one, start with a pretty easy one. I think we'll be able to get this one right.
They're all easy if you know them, Rudo.
I was going to say, yeah, define your definition of easy. Let's see.
I mean, even if you get this here, there's only like so many answers that this first one could realistically be. Who is the Avs all-time plus-minus leader?
That would be Peter Forsberg.
That is correct. Very quick answer with number one. Locking it down. Move right along here to question number two. Which Avalanche D-man has the highest career points per game, minimum of 50 games played?
Highest career points per game with at least 50 games played in his career or in an Avs sweater?
In an Avs sweater.
Oh, that's tough. My gut wants to say Sandis Ozilinch.
Is that your final answer?
Do you want help?
Do I need help on question two?
He can help you with all the questions.
Oh, I have unlimited lifelines? Yeah, oh, yeah. Please, AJ, please save me here. I'm drowning.
You might consider a guy that plays on the team this year.
Indeed.
Is it Cale Makar?
It is Cale Makar.
Okay, I'm thinking way too hard about it. I was like, it can't be Cale. That's way
the 50
too easy.
Games played was yeah. The key there. As soon as he made Cale eligible.
I specifically made Cale eligible.
Yeah.
For the record, number two would have been Ray Bourque. He didn't quite make 100 regular season games. But
had it been 100, it should have been Sandis.
Yep. So you were on the right track.
Okay.
But all right. This is a long form one. We're going to need multiple answers for question number three here. Nine Avs have had a point per game season in their history. Name seven.
Okay. Start easy, I guess. Let's go Joe Sakic. Peter Forsberg.
Yep.
Milan Hayduk.
Yep.
Nathan MacKinnon.
Yep.
Mika Rantanen.
Yep.
Let's see, that's five. He's like all the easy ones too. I want to say Tanguy, but I don't know if he ever did. Let's see. AJ, do you want to give me some? Want to give me some pointers with the last two?
How about the third of the three-headed monsters?
Oh, Landeskog, duh.
Yep.
Even I'm undervaluing him on this podcast. That's unfortunate.
What jersey are you wearing?
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know what you're talking about. I don't have three Landeskog jerseys in my closet. I don't know what you're doing. Gabe Landeskog, and then I don't know. Let's go with Tanguy for the last one.
Tanguy is correct.
Yes.
So you're safe. You could have also said Paul Stastny or Valerie Kamensky.
Yep.
All right. Three questions down, two to go.
That also probably could have used a games played.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Well, I did. I didn't say the games played, but I was like, okay. All right, you can't say Peter Mueller, who played 14 games.
Yeah. Or Theo Fleury.
Yeah.
Mortar Rendulich is like a point per game player, isn't he?
I don't think so. Sam Henley, though.
No, Henley, that's what I'm thinking of. Yeah, yeah. One goal, one game. Absolute legend.
He's the king of goals in the NHL. All right. Next question. Who holds the Avs' single season record for penalty minutes?
Oh, that's Dale Hunter. Oh no. Oh shoot. Oh, is it oh shoot. Well, I already got my guess, so I guess I could just list off every
We'll stop you when you're correct.
I don't know. Scott Young, Cody McLeod, Patrick Bortles is probably not it. Scott Parker?
Nope.
Shoot. Just keep digging that hole deeper. Oh my gosh. AJ, what do you think?
Jeff Odgers.
Jeff Odgers, shoot. That's
Jeff Odgers is correct.
Dang.
All right. One more question. I'll tell you what. If you get this question answered on your first try, we'll give you the sticker pack, even though you missed that one.
All righty, let's hear it.
In Avalanche history, there is one player that has scored three power play goals in a single game. Who is it?
That's what I'm talking about.
Three power play goals in a single game, and it's definitely not something obvious. Let's see, and I have to answer it right away. I can't get a lifeline on this.
I'll give you a lifeline as long as AJ doesn't look it up.
I honestly don't know where I would go to look that up. That one might take me a while. To like go through like all of like the goal finders and stuff.
Oh my god. Yeah, let's see if you can give me anything on this one.
Can you give us the year?
I can. Let me pull it up. 2006.
Holy smokes.
I have a guess.
Oh my gosh. I don't even know if I have a guess, honestly, because I know the guesses that come to mind aren't right. I don't know. Was Jordan Leopold playing for us back in 06?
I don't know. Did
he really play for the Avs?
I can tell you that answer is not correct.
Oh my god, I have no idea. I'm gonna guess Svatos.
Not the correct answer.
Dang it.
A decent guess though.
I'm gonna guess Andrew Brunette.
AJ is correct.
Oh.
Andrew Brunette against the Edmonton Oilers in a game that ended 7-6.
Did they win?
They Avs won 7-6.
He scored three power play goals.
Almost.
Knowing that dude, they were all from within 2 feet.
They don't have highlights dating that back on NHL.com, unfortunately, so I can't look it up.
I'm just assuming. That guy scored like 300 goals in his career from right there.
Probably where it went in from, but that is it. Cygnus, we may still send you a card or some sticker pack your way
we'll send you a get well card after
rough life.
Trivia burned you bad.
It ain't good. It's just been exposed on it's not good, but you know what, that's what we live and learn.
That's fine. I don't think anybody's won the Nuggets version of this, so
I didn't even want to try to hop on that show that even the most diehard of people are just floundering on that. It's just forget it.
I would have won today's. Today's was the first time I ever was like, oh, I would have done well on this.
That's impressive. That's all credit to you. That's absolutely impressive.
They keep focusing on college players. I'll have a chance.
Oh my god.
Well, we learned that we definitely do need AJ as the lifeline on today's show for the trivia. So you will all will have that going forward for the next weeks of trivia. But Cygnus, Michael, whatever you want to go by, any final words for the podcast, any hype for the Avs coming back, whatever you want to say.
Honestly, just appreciate you guys having me on. I've been listening for years, and I love everything that you and the rest of DNVR does. And I think it's just, speaking of understating stuff, you guys do so much on a daily basis for everybody. Just you keep doing what y'all are doing. It's wonderful. And, you know, that new hook hype train is about as hot as it can get. So I don't think I could do any better job hyping up than you already did.
All right. Well, perfect. Once again, thanks for coming on. Appreciate you having you. Everybody, that was Cygnus. You can catch him in the DNVR Discord and hang out with us all the time. Much appreciated. Hope y'all enjoyed the trivia. Again, this is something we want to kind of do every Friday, is have a little fun and give a chance for you guys to win stuff like DNVR sticker packs or DNVR shirts and things like that. So that's it for me, AJ, unless you got anything to wrap up the show.
Nope.
All right. Well, that's going to do it then. Thank you, everyone, for hanging out. Cygnus, we'll hit you up and probably get you a sticker pack. Just DM me your address or whatever, and we'll be good to go. But
come down to the bar.
Yeah, we can just give you one at the bar since you live in Colorado. Easy enough.
We'll be there tomorrow night, man.
Perfect. That's the final thing. AJ and I are planning on heading to the bar for tomorrow night, and we have another prospect watch along this evening at 6 p.m. of Tyson Forrester. Had a couple of requests to look into him, so if you want to hang out for that, just stick around on the Twitch channel, and we are gonna get out of here on that note, but not before I let you guys know about the best ball hair trimmer in the world, Lawnmower 3.0, coming from Manscaped. All right, look. Sure, maybe you didn't make it through the trivia super well. Maybe you struggled with that, but you need to take care of your manhood. Manscaped has you covered. You guys can't see this, but behind the scenes, Cygnus is face palming hard right now. either way, between the Lawnmower 3.0 trimmer, the deodorant for anti-chafe, and the toner to keep things fresh, it will help you feel your manhood back together after struggling through trivia. So get on Manscaped now. Head to manscaped.com and get 20% off when you go use code DNVR20, and you'll get free shipping as well. And that's it for us, y'all. Have a good Friday and a good weekend. We'll see you at the bar on Saturday if you're coming down.
DNVR Avalanche with Hey Believe.